All right. Well, the Christmas Eve message. I have two messages up here. I plan to preach the one, and then I thought, I just want to make it simple. I just want to make it simple tonight. Something that encompasses who Christ is. And of course, both of the messages would do that, but I think this one's as clear as can be. And I'd like to ask, if you have a Bible, I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. The girls read earlier this text, the taxation that brought Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which is a journey of about 90 miles. So they traveled 90 miles by foot. Maybe they had a donkey, I don't know. They were poor. She was very much pregnant. And walking or going that distance stirred up things. After a 90-mile trip, they came to the inn. And by the way, this was not a Holiday Inn. This was probably more like a bed and breakfast with just a dozen rooms maybe. And the crowd was swelled because of the taxation. It brought everybody down to the home town of their lineage, which was, in Joseph's case, was Bethlehem, because that's where David was from. And he was of the house and lineage of David. So they got to Bethlehem, and I'm sure Mary's holding the baby in her stomach. And they walk to the door and knock or go in, and the innkeeper greets them. And, of course, you know the story. I'm sorry, we don't have any room. And you would have thought that somebody would have said, I'll give you my room. Reminds me of a play I heard of a little child who was a kind-hearted child, a little bit mentally slow, and he was the innkeeper. And he had his play part, and he was to say, no, there's no room. No, go away, there's no room. and then at the end, he's to say, okay, there's room. I'll give you, you can go out into the barn. But instead he said, okay, you win, you can have my room. Anyway, that became quite a funny story. That's the way it should have been, but it wasn't that way. They were so busy, you can imagine, they were just so busy feeding people and caring for people there that night. Very quickly he rushed them probably to the barn. And of course, you know, Jesus was born. And that night, the angel of the Lord came to some shepherds. That's what I'd like to just focus on, that simple message, but so profound. Now, verse 8 of chapter 2 of Luke. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Can you imagine? The glory of the Lord. That's a bright light, okay? The glory of God shined around them. And they were greatly afraid. By the way, I was to this field a couple years ago to see the field of Bethlehem, looking down over it. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly, just as suddenly as he appeared, suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly host, The whole sky lit up with these angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. In other words, they made widely known, meaning they went everywhere telling the people of this child, who he was, these shepherds. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. This message that the angel delivered, as I said, I'm going to be very simple. He says, good tidings of great joy. You know what good tidings are to us today? Good tidings are you graduated from college and we're going to offer you this position. That's good news, isn't it? When you just graduated from college. That's really good news today. Or it's good news for that couple who wanted a child. And they tried and they tried and they tried and they tried and no child. And then one night her husband comes home and she tells him, "We're going to have a baby." Now I'm going to tell you something. I experienced that and it was good news. And you know what I did? I ran out of the house, ran over to the church and told everybody, "I'm going to have a baby." Because it was such good news. There's a lot of things that are good news in our lives. But I want to tell you the best news. And I remember years ago, I want to tell this story real quick. I was just a little kid passing out newspapers. It was in October of 1960. And as I'm passing out the newspaper, I have my little radio on. And you know what I'm listening to? The Pittsburgh Pirates. The seventh game of the World Series. And Bill Mazeroski hit that home run in the bottom of the ninth. And I'm telling you, that was crazy. I mean, that was really good news. But let me tell you the best news that you'll ever hear. Good news. A Savior is born. Good news. Of great joy, not just Bill Mazeroski joy, not just you graduated and you just got your first job joy, or you're going to have a baby. As joyous as those events are, I'm telling you, there's greater joy in this news that the angels brought that night. And if you've ever experienced Jesus Christ, if you've ever experienced Jesus in your life, having come from a life of sin and self-living and emptiness and drugs and alcohol and the sins of the world, the filth of the world, and you hear that Christ died for sinners. Let me tell you something. That was good news to my heart because that was one thing I was, a sinner. That's all I had was my sin. And when the news was shared with me that God loves sinners, I just couldn't get over that news. I really couldn't. That God would love sinners such as me. Good news of great joy, he said. And then he said it'll be to all people. All people. How many people does that mean here tonight? Every single person. You're not excluded. It's good news of great joy, which shall be to every person, you and you and you and every you. For unto you, notice he says in the singular, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He didn't say a politician that's going to save the world. I'm telling you, I hate all this junk. He didn't say a moral reformer. He didn't say a pope. He said a Savior. You know what a Savior is? You know how much you need a Savior tonight? If you were drowning tonight off the beach, miles off the beach of Miami Beach tonight, and you were out there drowning, and you felt a brush against your leg, and then you saw a spot of the fin, and you thought, I'm done. It's over. And then all of a sudden, you saw a boat coming on the horizon with a light, and they spotted you. What do you think you're going to do? Hey, over here, over here, I'm over here. You don't think you're going to do that? You're going to be screaming for all your gut. And they pull up, and they throw you a buoy, a life preserver. And you don't sit there and scratch your head. I wonder if I should take this. Do you? You don't do that. You grab onto that as quick as you can. And they pull you out of the waters of death. That's a Savior. Jesus Christ is your Savior. And if you don't come to Him, then you'll have no way to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from your sin. And I'm going to say this very clearly. Saved from your life of self-centeredness. Saved from your life of ego or emptiness, whichever it is. Saved from your life of total purposelessness. For what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world, make all the money he could ever spend, live in the biggest mansions, but he'd die and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? A Savior was born to you, and you need him to save you from your sin. Because the wages of sin is death, and there's eternal separation from God. In a torment of fire, and it's forever. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Doesn't matter if you believe that, it's in the Bible. You can say, I don't want to believe that. Well, you can not believe it, but if it's still true, you won't escape it. But if you receive in faith the Savior and you turn to your life to Him, and you know what He gives you? He gives you a great life, a joyful life. It doesn't mean it'll be all roses. There'll be thorns with the roses. I'm going to tell you the truth. But I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing better than Jesus Christ, the Lord, in your life. Nothing. Nothing in this world. If you ever taste Jesus Christ and His salvation, you'll see why so many people have left everything to follow Him. Because they find in Him a satisfaction that the world never gave them. A satisfaction in their heart. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that's the very second last part He's the Lord. He's the Lord of all heaven and earth. He's the Son, the eternal Word of God, who is the person of God, the Son, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Colossians, in the book of Colossians, speaking of Christ, it writes of Jesus. And I wanted to read these words to you about the person of Christ. He is the image, the icon. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the physical image of the invisible God. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, things visible and things invisible. Whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Everything was created for, by him, and for him. This baby, Christ the Lord, was the creator. He created you, and he created you for him. And you will never find peace in your life till you find him as your Savior and Lord. And you enter into a faith relationship with him as your Savior and your Lord. I did that when I was 21 years old. Rob Orr has told his story. I love people's stories of how they came to Christ. Dave Grazier. Perfect Dave Grazier was a hedonistic, sinful football player at William & Mary. You smoked dope, didn't you, Dave? Let's tell that he's a dope smoker. I say that so that you understand, we're not religious people. We're everyday people, just like you. So I never did that. Well, you've done other things, plenty. And I'm just trying to say that Christians are people who have believed in Christ and had an experience where they turned from that life and they turned to Jesus Christ and follow him as a disciple. I was a believer and follow him. But it all begins with the step of believing who this person is. For behold, fear not, shepherds, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and it's for all people. Have you asked Jesus Christ, turned to him and said, Lord, I can't save myself. I'm drowning in my life of struggles with my own mind. I ask you to save me. Come into my life, Jesus Christ the Lord, in faith, and live in me, and change my heart from this day forward, and I will follow you. If you would like to make that decision, there's probably a card in front of you in that pew, or there's no pews here, in that chair. Take that card out, and if you've made that decision, I want more information about Jesus. Just write that on that card. Give us your name, a phone number, and we'll get a hold of you. I'm actually going out of town for a week. Pastor Aaron will be here. Rob Orr, who opened, he's preaching this Sunday. You won't want to miss Rob Orr. I've said this, and I'll say it publicly right here. Rob Orr, to me, is the best teacher this church has, even over me. That's especially over me, probably. But we love all of our teachers in this church. But we'll be here and we'll get a hold of you. But please see yourself out in the Atlantic, surrounded, seriously, surrounded by demons who want to take your soul with them to an eternal hell, and cry out to Jesus, save me. I believe your death for my sins can save me from my sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thanks for coming out tonight. We're going to enter into a time of Christmas carols, and you won't want to miss that. They're very beautiful. You received a candle on your way in. And by the way, Christ didn't stay dead. Three days later, he bodily arose from the dead. And he can save you from your sins if you'll accept him as your Savior. Let's pray. God, you know every heart here tonight. And I rejoice that you do. There's no one here that they escape you. Not one. They're all so important to you. And you came into this world to bring them eternal life, forgiveness of their sins, and the gift of eternal life. And I pray that someone might take your gift tonight, your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, and receive your Spirit into their heart when they call on you, Lord, to be saved. I pray that some would check. I want more information. I pray that people will seek you, Lord, from your drawing. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.